The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry. Happy New Year's Eve to you. I hope everything is going well. This is a very unique guest. And when I read the story of Owen Hansen, I thought, man, I really want to talk to this guy. It's the book, The California Kid, from USC Golden Boy to International Drug Kingpin. Owen Hansen joins us this morning on the show. And, you know, honestly, I don't even know where to begin. The California Kid, from USC Golden Boy to International Drug Kingpin. Where does this start, your book?
You know, the book starts at a very young age, you know, 8 years old, and my family separating and my mom going one way and my dad basically holding it down for him and I.
Wow. So when you look at yourself at that age, do you find yourself progressing over time, or do things start to snowball very quickly by the time you hit college? Where do you start to realize a change in your life?
You know, the change happened once I got out of that high school lifestyle with my father. My father was a very strict, you know, 6 p.m. curfew, you know, make sure I did all my homework, make sure I was excelling at sports, and he laid down the rules at a very young age, and he told me, if you want to go to school, you got to get a scholarship because I can't afford it. I'm a construction worker, and your mom's a librarian. And so I knew I had to focus on sports because that was my saving grace. And I started playing volleyball at 8 years old when my mom left my dad, and it was just him and I. And we just, you know, we grew up on the beach surfing and playing volleyball, and that's where I just excelled at sports.
I know, and you start to fast forward with some of this, and you go from excelling in sports, being able to go to USC, and then you find yourself in part of a multi-million-dollar drug ring and gambling, and you're around a bunch of rich kids, and you're not rich. Drug trafficking, money laundering, there's so much involved with all of this. Did your dad ever find out about this when it was happening, during the time it was happening?
You know, no, my father was clueless. You know, he didn't ever really see me living that life until after I graduated from college and I had a reason to have nice things. You know, I got hired to that USC alumni working, you know, making six figures right out of college. So in his eyes, it looked like I was successful as I graduated college and I got a job working for a real estate developer. So he never knew that I was, you know, selling drugs at USC in order to keep up with the Joneses. You know, everyone had American Express black cards and BMWs and Mercedes and Denalis, and I'm just like, wow, how am I going to afford to even have lunch with one of these sorority girls, let alone dinner?
What did that feel like, though? You sit down and you talk to your dad and you're kind of living this secret life. Was it hard for you to hide it from him, or did he just believe, okay, you know, my kid's made it, he's living the lifestyle, he's earned it, and you just played along with it that way?
You know, I became very good at lying. You know, you had to lie, obviously, in this business. You can't tell your father, hey, I made a bunch of money selling cocaine and taking bets from infamous cartel members. You can't obviously tell your father that, so it would crush him. So, you know, life's good. Pop's working for the developer, sold a couple pieces of real estate today in Hermosa Beach. You know, everything's on the up and up, and, you know, in his eyes, he doesn't realize his son's, you know, creating some empire behind his back.
That's amazing. So when you say empire, how many years did that span? I mean, how long were you doing it for?
You know, I started booking bets right when the recession hit, and I lost my job in 2007. So I started, you know, getting into organized crime right around 2007 as far as the illegal sports betting, the money laundering. And then that's when it really snowballed. And I started helping out the cartel and laundering money for them in the U.S. And next thing you know, I'm taking $250,000 bets from them. And then that snowballs into, hey, do you have any contacts in Australia? And as ambitious as I am, I can't say no to anybody. And I make sure if someone asks me to do something, I'm going to take care of it. This is a VIP customer of mine. And come to find out, he was one of the lieutenants to the biggest cartel in the world. So, you know, the thing snowballed and got out of control, but it's hard to say no to someone that's losing $250,000 a month to you in sports betting. So,
oh, man,
you know, whatever he asked for, I would do. And time came and I was in Australia and he said, you know what, I'm going to make you $1 million in a day. How does that sound? And, you know, 26 years old, how can you say no to that?
Yeah. Did it feel like, wow, I've been doing this for a while. Nothing bad's happened to me. Like, it's escalated, but you're getting away with it. Did you just feel like, wow, this is easier than I thought?
Yeah, I definitely felt like Superman. I'm not going to lie. At USC when I was doing it, I was in this bubble. I was in the fraternity house, so I had protection around me. You know, no one's going to knock down the walls of a fraternity house at USC, so no one really knew. So I was protected there. And then once I, you know, I got into the gambling and the drug trafficking and the smuggling and eventually working as the quarterback of the cartel in Los Angeles, you know, I had so many people working for me. I was never, ever handling it. So I felt untouchable because I was using encrypted phones. You know, I had operations in New York, Philadelphia, New Jersey, Canada, Sydney, Australia. I mean, the list goes on. So I had everything in line where I was just basically the logistics coordinator.
Wow.
And I had people that were all underneath me just moving this stuff.
In the book, The California Kid, from USC Golden Boy to International Drug Kingpin, Owen Hansen joining us. So you were arrested in September 2015. How did you get caught?
Yeah, you know, I've been golfing now for 6 months, and I've been golfing with these guys that call themselves Swiss bankers, a.k.a. money launderers in the, you know, organized crime business. And these guys were laundering, you know, $250,000 a week for me from Australia to the U.S. for a fee of 10%. So if I had 250 in Australia, I'd give it to him in Australia, and then 2 days later, I'd get 250 minus 10% fee in the U.S., and we were doing this for 6 months straight. And I remember we had a tee time set up because we played a lot of golf together. We were gambling together on the golf course, and I had a tee time set up at 7:10 in Aviara Country Club in Carlsbad. It was on a Wednesday. I'll never forget it. And he messaged me, hey, I'm in the clubhouse. Where you at? And I said, hey, I'm just pulling up. And I pulled up that day and I stepped out of my Porsche Panamera and there's my caddy picking up my golf clubs. And next thing you know, I turn around and there's 15 agents coming out of the bushes, the helicopter in the sky, and
whoa,
the FBI says freeze. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So it was definitely a day I'll never forget. And that money launderer ended up being FBI the whole time.
Wow. So arrested in September 2015, sentenced in 2017, you went to federal prison, but you're out now. I think it was like 20 plus years you were sentenced to. Were you surprised that you got out early?
You know, I wasn't surprised. I had an ace in my hole, you know, the old ace in my sleeve, they say. And, you know, that's something that you're going to have to read about in book two. I'm not unreeling what happened, but it was definitely it was like winning the lottery in life. Mm. And, I can assure you there's no cooperation against the cartel or the mafia and no one's out to kill me, but it was literally like my lawyer said, you know, this is a 10 million shot to this to happen, and it happened, and I'm blessed to be out.
Well, so at the time, and I don't know how this lines up with the timeline, what was that first phone call with your dad like? Did you admit to him what was going on or did you deny it? What was that like?
Well, the first visit in federal prison, I'm fighting my case. I'm in MDCL, San Diego, and you know, as a parent, he's so disappointed. He comes in and visits me, and I just say, "Pops, I'm sorry, man. I've did this from you for 10 plus years, but I've been doing this since college." And you know, the look on your father's face is just devastating. You know, like he's my dad's such a hard worker. He worked 35 years for the same company, and for him, you know, he believes in morals and ethics. He's taught that to me my whole life. And just to see his face when I explained to him, he's just blown out of water.
Wow. Is he still around? Is your dad still alive?
Yeah, Pops is alive, thank God. You know, that was my biggest fear in prison. I was going to lose my dad when I was incarcerated. And, you know, we got to play around the golf a couple months ago right when I got out. And hopefully he stays healthy for me. for when I get out of the halfway house, because I'm currently living in the federal halfway house.
Right. Wow. And, you know, you see the movies, the television shows or whatever, what it's like in prison. Is it like it is on the television shows? What was it like on the inside for you?
Yeah, it's definitely an eye-opener. I remember first day of prison, I get to the United States Penitentiary in Lompoc, and I pull up on the bus, and they're stripping us down, and they're patting us in, and I'm seeing all these guys from 18th Street Gang, Bloods and Crips, coming in with me, and I'm like, holy smokes. Remember, I get to my cell, and one of the top callers for the whites comes up to me and says, hey, this is for you. And I said, what's this? And it was a like, 9-inch knife. He says, this is for you to protect yourself. He goes, if we ever have a race riot, you make sure you protect yourself and you have this on you at all times. And, you know, this surfer kid from Redondo Beach with a comb over and a tan is just like going, what did I get myself into, you know?
Wow.
So it's definitely like the movies. You know, I saw murders, I saw riots, I saw stabbings and hangings, and I've seen it all in prison. And it, sure, I have PTSD, you know, to this day, I still have nightmares about it, but you know what? You got to get through it. Really, it's the past.
Do you find that once you're out, so you're out of federal prison, do you find people from your past start messaging you? And is that hard to, you know, sometimes people, oh, look, Owen's out. Maybe we can go back to doing what we did before he went in. Do you get those type of calls or those type of temptations that happen?
Yeah, you know, when I got out, not so much. You know, the social media thing starts getting big, and people are messaging me, oh, you're out finally, so happy, you know, I can't wait to hear your comeback story. But while I'm inside, you know, people start reading the Rolling Stones and Vice Magazine, LA Times, and they're reading all these stories about me. And you know, I got every person from all walks of life coming up to me saying, hey, do you ever want to work again? I said, it's crazy, man. I said, I just got sentenced 21 years, and you're asking me if I want to work again? I said, this is rehabilitation. You guys got to understand, I'm never going back to that world. I don't care how much money you offer me. I'd rather be a poor man on the street than a rich man in prison.
Yeah. You know, I've heard...
Yeah, that's truth.
You know, I've heard people say, in this, when you look at the amount of effort it takes to keep up a lifestyle like that, and people would say, if you have that type of drive, you might as well be legitimate, because the drive is what carries you into success. So did you ever at a certain point say, you know, I got this figured out, I'm going to leave this type of lifestyle? Or was the money and that lifestyle just so tempting that it was, you never even once considered leaving it before you were arrested?
No, you got to understand, I was an entrepreneur, you know, a real estate developer. I had, you know, my license in real estate, and I was selling homes. So I had an exit strategy. I enjoyed building homes, and I was really good at it. And you know, I had a property that won an architecture award of the year. And I mean, that was my exit strategy. I was just going to use my money that I made and just become a real estate developer and just live this nice life in the South Bay where I'm from. And then, as you'll see in the book, there's a guy that I hired that lost $2.5 million of mine. And then the same day, a $700,000. So I lost $3.2 million in one day of the cartel's money. So put me in a bind, and everything stopped in Australia. You know, I had still had about $50 million to make, and everything got put on hold when this guy lost that money. And I had to go talk to the boss in Mexico and let him know what happened. You know, I thought I was going to get killed. And he says, well, you owe me $4 million now, and you work for me until this is paid off. And so he threw a monkey wrench at me, but, you know, I took care of him. I paid him off, and 2 weeks later, I got arrested.
Wow. Part of this is the transformation in your life and what this can do to inspire particularly younger people that may be looking into some of the same decisions that you took. And are you hoping that your story and the more people that learn about your story and the outcome and then where you're at today may take that and change the direction, the trajectory of their own lives?
Yeah, you know, I never want to see a kid go through what I did, you know, at a young age, trying to fit in with kids that have money and you don't. And you crossing that illegal line where you go down that rabbit hole, as I say. And once you go down that rabbit hole, it's very hard to get out of that rabbit hole. Once you start making that money, it's like, oh, wow, this is pretty easy. This is kind of fun. I got everyone around me that likes to be around me. You know, I'm the life of the party. And then as soon as you go to prison, guess what? All those people that were around you, you won't ever hear from them again. And, you know, I've spoken to inner city kids on Pop Warner football teams, and I told them my story, and you know, they're blown away. And I tell them, listen, prison's a place you don't ever want to go to.
Wow. So the book is The California Kid and Owen Hansen. I understand that is Amazon doing a docuseries on your life that's coming out next year?
That's what they say. All I can say is stay tuned, because that's all I know.
That's awesome. We will stay tuned. But then you can, they always say the book's better than the movie anyway, so people should get the book, of course. I don't know anyone that says the movie's ever better than the book, so you got to get The California Kid and check it out for yourself. So do you have a peace with all of this now? Do you feel like your life is at a point where you have let go of all these other feelings and emotions you had, and now you're in a better place? And did it take a long time to reach that point? I guess, are you there? Do you feel that now?
Listen, I don't have any money anymore, but that doesn't bother me. I'm peace with myself. It's such a relief to be able to walk down the street and not worry about anything, not look over your shoulder, have a security guard, you know, following you when you're in Mexico. It's such a relief to just know that everything's taken care of. You paid your debt to society, you paid off the cartel, nobody's got in trouble on your case. Wow. And knowing I can, you know, pull my head high and just continue to keep pushing, you know, and have this comeback story and do it all again legitimately.
It's amazing. The book is out now. You can go find The California Kid, from USC Golden Boy to International Drug Kingpin. Look online for Owen Hansen. You can find the book there. Get it, read it, enjoy it, learn from it. Owen, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, appreciate it. TheCaliforniaKid.com, just like the book, is my website.
TheCaliforniaKid.com. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry on 97.1 FM Talk. Don't go anywhere.